My name is Otto Scharmer. I'm a senior lecturer at the Sloan School of Management at MIT and founding chair of the Presencing Institute, which is something that, you know, it's an organization that is focusing on creating methods and tools for transformation. My work context is in the area of a management school, right? So you could say kind of I really work on the capital of materialism today, right? So that's it's a supply chain for Wall Street and also for Silicon Valley. Those are the people. And what I find interesting is when you supply the right kind of reflective practices to these people, within weeks, something profound is happening, actually. So, and that's it is kind of a very reliable experience. That what it means to me is that. I'm Wiebke, kind of from humanities to humanity. What I take from that is that each of us, no matter where we grew up and kind of how we, all the expectations and mindset that we bring, there is a deeper layer of human aspiration that if activated or if attended to, is transforming everything. So that's my experience. And it's, it's an experience of really moving from attention to intention and from intention to agency. And when you look at the larger, now kind of zooming out a little bit, the world of business schools, what do we see there? What's the biggest problem? Lack of aspiration. The aspirations are so small. So insignificant to be successful, to fit into whatever was projected upon them by their parents, by their environment, and what socialized into them. And to really kind of the string shooter dimension or the second day dimension of aspiration that we all have, but often don't have the privilege to attend to. That's a little bit kind of my core business, and it's perhaps related to your core business as well. So what I wanted to add to the conversation, I have a little laundry list here. It's kind of a random, and it's putting that could be added to the conversation that we are having here this morning. And it's basically seven propositions on what's actually happening around us and kind of how does that relate to the evolution of the organization or the institution that we all participate in. So number one, the idea of the university. If you look at the idea of the university in the Western context, then you can say it has evolved around at least four stages. The first one is the medieval university, basically organized around the unity of teaching and doctrinal preservation. Then the Humboldtian university, organized around the idea of unity of teaching and research, and you could say of, in part, self-formation, right? The Bildungs, the concept of Bildung. Then in the 20th century, as we all know, kind of unity of teaching, research, and societal applications, right? Kind of particularly after World War II, but really for a long time. And what I feel it's happening now is that we are in the midst of an evolution towards the 21st century model that perhaps is based on the unity of teaching, research, and the transformation of society and self. So transformation is at the core. In other words, what I'm saying here is when you trace the evolution of the idea of the university, it moved from doing, from knowing, to knowing and doing, and from there to the deeper layers of being, I would say. So that's the first thesis or proposition. Number two, the gap. So I'm an action researcher. I work with organizations worldwide. And what's the biggest gap? The number one problem of decision makers across institutions is that they face challenges that they cannot solve alone. That's true for top layers of the Chinese government, as it is true for the US government, as it is true for some of the most powerful companies around. No one can do this alone. What is the most pressing challenges that we face? How to lead deep systems change in the face of disruption is a challenge that just about everyone is facing today, and that the methods and tools that we learn in our journeys of education do not equip us for to respond to, particularly the old kind of management tools and so on and so forth. So that's basically a gap, right? There's a gap between the challenges coming our way on the one hand, in the real world, the challenges of profound disruption, and the toolkit that I got from my education and from my management training. Number three, the problem with traditional management education is that there are three things overrated and three things underrated. The first thing overrated is knowledge. What's the problem with knowledge? Well, there is one problem, which is many of the most important things we don't know. In particular, the future. No one knows what's going to happen by the end of the year, the Middle East, all the other things. No one knows what's going to happen, right? Yet, I need to act now in my life as a decision maker. So what is underrated? Not knowing. How to access not knowing. That is one of the most underrated things in our institutions. The second thing overrated, being comfortable. Underrated, so what's the problem with being comfortable? From my field, my professional field, in leadership training, as long as people are comfortable, you don't learn anything that is remotely relevant to changing your own behavior. You're not. So leaning into our discomfort without losing precise paying attention is one of the key foundational skills, really, to be effective in the change situations that we face today. So underrated discomfort. And the third one that's overrated is action. Now, what could be possibly wrong with action? Well, what's wrong with action is reactiveness. If you move from a perceived challenge to action right away, that's a definition of being reactive, which means more of the same. And often the pause, right, the non-action, that what's underrated is non-action. That, of course, is a well-known Taoist concept of leadership, but it is also a very practical tool of kind of when the disruption happens, to not act on your first impulse, but to stay with it and connect with this deeper moment of stillness to the deeper layers of your own knowing, which allows you to come up with a response perhaps differently than you would have if you act on the impulse and on your habits. So three things overrated: knowledge, comfort, and action. Underrated, accessing our not knowing, our discomfort, and our non-action. These three things matter because they squarely relate to the blind spot of AI. As we all know, we live in the moment of AI, and AI is so much more effective in synthesizing all the knowledge that's already existing and integrating it, blah, blah, blah. But what's the blind spot of AI? And in one word, the blind spot of AI is the emerging future. Well, those are two words. But the emerging future in the sense of the deep innate human capacity for deep creativity. And all deep creativity and sustained attention is tuning into a potential that hasn't quite manifested yet. And if I have one guess of the decades to come, this capacity to not only learn from the past, but learn from the future as it emerges, will be central not only for the future of leadership development, but also for the future of learning. And it has everything to do with our topic here today. So to close with three notions, how perhaps we can think differently about universities. And what I want to also emphasize is that in many ways it's already work underway, right? It's already happening in small ways. So number five, the 21st century university can be thought of as a deeply embedded innovation ecosystem where the members of the university engage in a process of breathing in and breathing out, right? The breathing in is basically taking deep dives into the key pockets of societal challenge, transformation, and innovation. And that's actually kind of when I see what happened, like in my context, the past 10, 20 years, that's actually something happening, right? The deep dives kind of into this, it's kind of integrated all these experiential learning activities in the real world play a critical part of our ecosystem that we provide. And then the breathing out, of course, is to being part of the solution. So it's basically universities as ecosystems that are embedded in their social context, right? And therefore can also not be as easily targeted by someone in the White House. Number six, shifting the place of learning. So for that breathing to work, I think essentially, so one simple way of how I think about the transformation of learning today is that we have to extend the place of learning from the classroom to the real world, right? That's kind of extending the outer place of learning. But we also have to shift the inner place of learning from the head to the heart and from the heart to the hand. Seven, innovation happens in places. It's in places. And at the end of the day, why do we need universities? Because they are places. Because there's, and what I mean with places is generative social fields, kind of places that generate that where you feel, experience as a learner, a deeper dimension of who you already are, but you have not experienced kind of before you entered that field. And these places and generative social fields, they need to be cultivated. And that cultivation needs methods and tools, and that's basically what I mean with the word social technologies. So the deep innovation creativity agenda that perhaps kind of we are trying to be in support of requires methods and tools, not just digital technologies, but social technologies, learning to and experiencing to listen from a deeper place, a deep listening, generative conversation, by which I mean a conversation that makes a system see and sense itself. And learning, the spirit of prototyping, that you kind of explore the future by doing something rather than just kind of analysis, paralysis. So that's my point number seven. Kind of to cultivate these places, we need social technologies that allow us to really build this transformation literacy that is so much in need today, and that would be helping us to address the gap that I mentioned at the outset, right? The gap between the challenge that I face and the toolkits that I got. So in summary, what I'm saying here is that a university can no longer be a university, right, from a 21st century perspective, if it is not transformative into the heart of society. And what is the heart of society? It's, Wiebke, what you were talking about before, right? It's STEM and business. And the simplest and most straightforward journey of humanizing technology and business is by humanizing the people who create technologies and who create businesses. And with that, we are, we are talking about our students, and we are in particularly talking about the students in engineering and also in business, but really across all departments. And that's what I believe is the future business of humanities and also of humanity. Thank you.